Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and for the first time ever, we have an actual guest.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, there he is. That's Ricardo. He's my old buddy from high school. If y'all don't know him, he's been my friend for so long. It's great to finally have somebody on the show. So thank you again, Ricardo, for coming over.
Yeah, no problem. It should be fun for you to talk to someone that's not just you.
it's been kind of fun just talking to myself. It was kind of like what quarantine's been anyway, so. But thank you again for coming on the show. Now, you're our first guest ever, so I decided that a new tradition that I will have is if we have a guest on the show, we're going to have a small interview portion of the show to begin with. Now, this is our interview process. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. The first three are not going to be a part of the game, but after that, I'll explain what happens. So are you ready for this?
Bring it on.
Bet. All right, Ricardo, you're a big movie fan as well, so I just want to ask a couple of movie questions. That way the people know that your opinion means something.
All right, shoot.
What is the most disappointing movie of your lifetime?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, right?
Like, personally, or just, like, one that, like, I think fails as a whole?
Personally, or both, you know, we all have one that we were all excited about, and then at the end of the day just didn't live up to the expectations. So what do you have?
I'll be honest with you, Batman v Superman. I know it's going to catch me some flack with certain people, but I just walked out of that one mad, man. I walked in ready to love it and then just was betrayed in that theater.
So what was it? Was it Doomsday? Was it?
Oh, man. Where do I even begin? Just, like, no one is in character. I don't know what Eisenberg is doing.
He's doing the Social Network.
Is he, though? Because he seems to be doing the Riddler.
He kind of seems like he's doing little Joker-y things every now and then, like a little bit of too many oops, and like his noises, those are what throw me off the most.
Someone's made a supercut of, like, all just the little weird noises he makes throughout that whole movie. And I think it's, like, eight minutes of just, like,
I do like his little rant at the end about, like, God and stuff. I thought that was a good, well-written, but other than that, I don't like his character at all.
One that, this is old, but another, if we're just talking bad movies, I know you like to bring this one up a lot, the Last Airbender movie.
That's a classic. That's an original. For those of you who don't know, I actually saw the Last Airbender movie before I saw the TV show. And I get a lot of flack for that. I'll defend it because I did not see the show. I think the movie is bad, but I don't think it's that bad. I think it's fine. But I did end up watching the show this summer, so now I kind of understand it a little bit more.
I watched the show, actually not that long before you did. I came in, it's not a part of my childhood, so I came to it pretty late. And I dug it, it's cool. And I knew the movie was bad going in, because it's famously bad. But it's not just yeah. Bad as an adaptation. Like, I wasn't prepared for how bad this was, just, like, as a movie.
Oh, the action is horrible compared to the everything. Like, everything about it.
The action's horrible. Its basic framing of shots is just bad. He puts extreme close-ups where they're not supposed to be. He doesn't know when to cut. Oh. Nothing is framed correctly.
And I'm a defender of M. Night. I actually like most of his movies, or at least half of his movies. So I'm really surprised how much of the ball that he dropped on this one.
I know, right? Because I've seen him do good movies, but this one felt like he was straight out of, like, film school. Like, none of this was correct.
He even gets the main character's name wrong?
He gets everyone's name wrong!
What? Watch The Last Airbender. It's on Netflix. please.
And if you're in the mood for, like, a so bad it's good time, do watch the movie. I showed it to my sister, who's, like, a massive Airbender fan. Mm-hmm. And she was it was a weird mixture of emotions where it's like laughing but also crying a little bit. Just because it's so bad.
Oh, it's horrible.
That's all she could say throughout the whole thing. Just like, it's so bad. Well,
I think, as far as I've seen, the people that I've talked to who love The Last Airbender show, they can't even sit down and watch the movie, like, at all. I think anyone who kind of likes the movie just hasn't seen The Last Airbender, the animated series, that well. So, I don't know if you've... most of the fandom has agreed that it just doesn't exist. And that they're just waiting for the Netflix adaption. But yeah, Batman vs. Superman, that was a decent choice. I agree with that one. I was disappointed with that one as well. To go back to what we were talking about to begin with. Next question. Let's go on. What is you're an animation major?
Yeah, recent switchover.
That's pretty dope, man. So, what's an underrated animated film that you could think of that you'd recommend to people?
I'm trying to think. Well, one that I don't think anyone's really talked about. It came out around 2009. It's called Nine, and that one sticks out to me in particular just because it was a PG-13 like animated movie, and I don't think I've ever seen that before, at least in America, being released. And it's pretty cool. It's got, you know, that 3D CGI, but it's like dark and industrial and like a post-apocalypse story.
It's they look like puppets or something like that?
Yeah, there we go.
I remember this.
They look like little sack boys from Little Big Planet.
Okay. I'm not mistaken. Is that a Tim Burton movie? Because it looks aesthetically like a Tim Burton movie, like if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't think it is, but it's got a lot of the same earmarks. It's spooky animated stuff, so...
Fits the time. Okay. I might check that one out because I have not seen that one. Huh. I bet. All right. Last question before we get into the big game, all right? We jump now to the year 2030. It's 10 years from now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fast 13 is coming out. Fast and the Furious 13. What is the ridiculous plot? Or what do you predict that the ridiculous plot will be for Fast and the Furious 13? I got an idea, but I just want to know what you think.
I've read the rumors that they're going to go to space at some point in the future.
I've read that as well.
Which, yeah. Sure, let's do that. Let's get weirder. Let's bring in the crossovers. I want a crossover with Jurassic Park. Something else happened with dinosaurs. They got to call in the team. They got to call in the family to take care of it. And then their cars turn into Transformers, and then they fight each other.
I think that would make the Transformers movies actually better, so I'm not against that at all. My thought was that there would be time travel involved, and then like a old Vin Diesel would have to fight a young Vin Diesel.
Oh my God. Go back to the first movie.
Yes, but they don't do the like de-aging like Marvel does. It's just Vin Diesel in like pretending to be his younger self.
There's no age difference.
No age difference. There's two old Vin Diesels, one pretending to be young, fighting each other. That's what I think Fast 13 is going to be. At least I'm really hoping. Okay. I'm down for Transformers and dinosaurs, though. I want Chris Pratt with his Raptors and Vin Diesel with his cars just all running together toward a Transformer. I don't know. Just none of those franchises make sense anymore, so... Okay, now we're on to questions. And this is when the game gets interesting, all right, Ricardo? So.
All right, cool.
Once you answer a question and we disagree, the game is now over, okay? All we have to do is to get into one argument, all right? And then the game is over.
All right.
There are 10 questions in total. I've asked you 3 already. If you can get to the 10th answer, to the 10th question, you win the game, all right?
All right, let's do this.
All right, question number 4. What is the worst Pixar movie that isn't a Cars film?
Already got to put that caveat on it, huh?
Yeah, it's we would have totally said Cars 2. I feel like everyone can agree Cars 2 is the worst. But yeah, I think every other film is generally good to okay, so I want to know. I have 4 down, as possible answers. If you get one of them, you continue on.
Weakest Pixar movie.
Yeah.
The Good Dinosaur is the one that like comes to mind immediately, just because no one was really feeling that. It came out like right after Inside Out, which is on like, I think it's on the A tier of Pixar movies. And also,
yeah, you're gonna tell me you don't like The Good Dinosaur, the Lion King remake that was just kind of worse?
It was just, they were cowboys but also dinosaurs.
That movie's so weird, and so forgettable. I like the old dinosaurs. Like, that's the one I think of every time someone says The Good Dinosaur. Do you remember that Disney movie, Dinosaurs?
What's like hyper-realistic dinosaurs, and they're talking?
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
I haven't seen that one since I was like maybe 9.
Oh yeah, me too. But it's still better than The Good Dinosaur. Yeah, I had The Good Dinosaur down as probably the worst. I also put down Monsters University, Finding Dory, and Brave.
Yeah, those are on the weaker side.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you like any of those? Because I can't, like, I don't think they're bad. I just don't think they're particularly good either.
Yeah.
Finding Dory gets me upset on multiple levels because I loved Finding Nemo so much. I think Finding Dory has an okay message and it's sure cute Dory, but that's about it to me.
Yeah, Finding Dory really wasn't necessary.
Not at all. Okay, now we're going to go on to, what is the best Steven Spielberg film?
Honestly, I'm going to say Jaws. I think Jaws, and I think it might be his first movie, but it, like, defined the blockbuster. And it's one of the few movies I think is kind of perfect in what it's trying to do. And, like, it's like history making. I think it might be, at least my personal favorite is.
Doesn't it have a couple of great sequels as well?
I don't understand. There's like 4? How?
Yeah.
The shark dies at the end of every one.
I did have that one on mine. I also put Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jurassic Park, and Saving Private Ryan. Oh, and E.T. And E.T. Those are the 5 that I had down. I guess an argument could have been made for Lincoln, but I made that one. There's a lot of good Steven Spielberg films. They could all be pretty good arguments. Okay, what is the best sitcom of all time? This one is gonna be
there's so many.
And this is just my opinion. I know people are gonna say other ones. I know all the ones people are gonna say, but I'm just gonna say they're not on my list of the best sitcoms.
But like, that opens up like subcategories. We talking old school laugh track sitcoms? We talking modern sitcoms, single camera, or
I'm talking any kind of sitcom at all. I'm down to argue because everyone has a favorite. I'm making it as vague as possible, Ricardo. I want to argue.
Okay. I gotta say, Community comes pretty close as like the best sitcom.
That's high on my list, absolutely.
It only loses a few points because it. I miss Donald, man. Why did he have to go?
He had to have a rap career, and I think it was kind of worth it if you look at Gambino stuff. But yeah, I have Community up there. I don't think it necessarily ends badly. It does end worse though, so I agree with you there.
I never actually had finished it until like quarantine started. I made it. Like, I guess my quarantine thing was just like I watched the whole thing start to actual finish. Season 6 got some good stuff in it.
It does. It does have a couple of good ones. I think when he leaves, after that, that's when you get Dean doing his peanut rap, which is personally my favorite. That's my favorite Dean moment of all time, is the peanut rap. I look that up every now and then if I need a laugh. I also had It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on there, because that's like the anti-sitcom. There are too many good moments in that show to count. And I know this one's probably the more typical sitcom that people have, and it's more modern, but if you haven't seen New Girl is so underrated. The cast is just great. I love Jake Johnson in everything. So those were my three for right now. Okay, this one's got to stump you, Ricardo. You're at the seventh question now. So who is the greatest Star Wars villain? I have three down.
You like watch all the side stuff, like the shows. You know a lot more characters than I do.
Yes, I've seen all the shows. So come on, Ricardo, let's see. I'm trying to stump you.
Ooh,
come on.
Greatest villain.
Just go. Greatest Star Wars villain.
There's only really two, isn't there?
Go ahead, say who you think it is, Ricardo. I'm gonna argue with you.
Like every part of my being wants to say Vader, but it's mainly because I don't know a whole lot about anyone else.
Go ahead. You're saying Vader?
I'm gonna lock it in. I'm gonna say Vader.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, but the correct answer is J.J. Abrams. It's followed by Jar Jar Binks, and then it ends with the stormtrooper that punched Baby Yoda, who was played by Jason Sudeikis. Those three are the greatest Star Wars villains of all time. They really screwed up. No one likes any of them. Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. You lost. Vader is down.
Oh no.
He loses points from me because Anakin mainly, but I think J.J. Abrams really messed up everyone's Star Wars experience, so he has to be the greatest villain of all time. There's just no question of it. If anyone liked Rise of Skywalker, why? Let me know.
Yeah, genuine question, why? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to know your thought process as to what is good about any of that movie. I'm a huge fan of The Last Jedi, and I will defend The Last Jedi with my dying breath. So,
you have no idea what you've just called into your life.
I'm down to argue. Let's all go. All right, so that was our first ever interview. Ricardo got to seven questions. That was a lot farther than I thought you'd get, to be honest. So that's pretty cool. Let's see if anyone can ever get to 10. The questions are going to have to change now because I'm going to find some new ones. But that was pretty fun. Thanks for the interview, Ricardo. All right. Let's go on to movie news, starting with trailers. There are three that I wanted to talk about. It ended up becoming two because one of them turned out to not actually be a trailer for a movie. But don't even get me started on that. The first one is Monster Hunter. Have you seen this trailer?
I mean, I saw the little preview that plays on Twitter, and then it's like, oh, it's one of those, okay, and then okay. It kept going.
Yeah, it's generic soldiers get trapped on another planet, having to close a portal before monsters come into the world. The monsters don't look particularly good either. It looks pretty generic, I'm not gonna lie. It has Mila Jovovich, and I wrote down here that she is to action movies what James Marsden is to any movie. Just like a pretty generic lead. So,
well, I don't think that's James Marsden's fault.
I don't blame him either. I just think when you see him in a movie, you know exactly what you're gonna get, right? Like, Sonic. That's what you're gonna get.
Monster Hunter's a video game movie. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that. I've never played the video game, and I don't think that
neither.
I don't think that calling something a video game movie is giving it credit. It's more so putting it in a list of other bad movies. So we'll see how that one goes. It's supposed to come out at the end of this year, December 30th. Will you watch it? I probably won't.
There's other things. It's from the Resident Evil guy. If you like those movies, this might be worth a watch. It's in a cheesy action movie kind of way.
Yeah, I probably won't then. Just being honest. What else came out? Soul came out with another trailer a week after the announcement that it's going to be on Disney Plus. I'm so excited for this movie. It looks just like Inside Out to me, the same kind of vibe.
It looks like Inside Out meets Coco, where it's personifications of not real things, but also deals heavily with death. I mean, my man falls into a manhole and dies, which I assume the first couple minutes of this movie.
For sure. Also, did you just claim that Mexicans are not real things?
Check the tape. You can't prove that.
But no, this is, one looks great. I love Jamie Foxx and I love Tina Fey, so I'm pretty excited for this one. I'm sure I'm going to get really sad after this one, too, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And did you see this Die Hard trailer? Did you see all the stuff that went on with it?
No, if I'm honest here, I've never seen a Die Hard movie.
Oh, you've never seen a Die Hard movie? I saw Die Hard for the first time this summer. It's fine. It's a good movie, I guess. But you know, people really overhype it, if I'm going to be completely honest. And it has almost, I think it has more sequels than Jaws. So it's, and they're not particularly well received. So they came out with a little teaser yesterday that Die Hard is back. Everyone presumed that it'd be Die Hard 6 because Bruce Willis was in it. And then it was a commercial for like a car battery for like advanced auto parts. And Bruce Willis is in it. Like, it's like 2 minutes long. And it has the driver from the first movie, like his limo driver. And it's completely cheesy and corny. And I was like, what is Bruce Willis doing nowadays? I don't know.
I don't think
has he had a good movie?
Bruce Willis wants to do anything. Any
I don't think so either.
Any interview you see him, he just doesn't want to be there. He's not answering questions. He's just kind of being a dick.
The last movie that I really wanted to see with him in it was Glass, and I remember that in every interview it was only James McAvoy and Samuel L. Jackson. Like, he was never there.
Oh, is that? There's only, like, four people in that movie.
Yeah, but he's, like, the main hero of the film. Like, those are the two.
And he wasn't doing any press.
No, he did no press. It's always Samuel L. Jackson and James McAvoy. And I think that's kind of why James McAvoy is, like, a big part of that film, is because he, the other two don't, like, Samuel L. Jackson's just a huge name, so he doesn't have to do that much. And Bruce Willis probably didn't want to do that much. So it was just James McAvoy just killing all the time of the movie. But, yeah, let me know what you guys thought about those trailers, if they were any good to you. There was nothing really that exciting about, like, I mean, Soul was exciting, but I didn't really learn anything about the film from it. It still looks cool. And then Die Hard kind of did me. So,
when you believe this was a real movie, did you want to see it?
Okay, so they did, like, a little shot of, like, a bunch of people in cars, like, with guns aimed at him, and he's, like, putting his hands behind his back, and it looked kind of cool for a second, so I was like, oh, shoot, like, I wonder what this one's gonna be about. I was intrigued, because I thought that the franchise died a while ago, and then I found out it was a commercial, and I got really mad.
You like, got, you know, bamboozled.
I hate getting bamboozled. I hate getting got, but they got me. All right, on to movie news now. Michael B. Jordan is going to produce a Static Shock movie for DC Comics. That's probably the biggest news of the day, that he said in a quote that he's proud to be a part of building a new universe centered around black superheroes, and that our community deserves that. So do you think this is the beginning of a milestone mediaverse?
I hope so. I saw this news, like, I think two days ago. And I was so happy. I just recently binged through, like, the whole Static Shock animated series. It holds up, man. It's really good.
Yeah, I remember. He actually shows up in, I don't know if you watch Young Justice, but he shows up in that one, too, and he's a great character. He's a lot of fun.
So I'm curious to see more details on this. Like, obviously, like, Michael B. Jordan can't play Static because he's, like, 30.
I saw this this meme of someone put Scarlett Johansson as Static. And don't give her any ideas. I hope he plays like a villain or something, though. Michael B. Jordan's a great actor, and he's not tied down to Marvel anymore since Killmonger's gone.
I don't know how familiar you are with, like, Static's own kind of rogues gallery, but I think Michael B. Jordan would be like a perfect Ebon, which is like his main bad guy, who's like kind of a, got shadow powers. He can teleport. He can, like, grow to 10 times his size. He's really cool.
Ooh, I don't remember him. The only Static Shock villain I can remember is there's one that has like a suit that had like bubbles that he could pop, and he would get any superpower. That's the only guy I remember. That guy was kind of cool, but...
Really? He was in one episode.
I know, but I remember that episode so vividly for some reason. I liked that idea that he's like, oh, I wonder what this one does. Okay, on to the next news. Doctor Strange 2 cast Xochitl Gomez in a unknown role. She is a young Hispanic actress, so I have to assume that she's going to possibly be America Chavez.
I don't know... much about America Chavez. I think she came out... She's a relatively new character, right?
She is. She is a member of the LGBTQ community. And she has interdimensional travel abilities. So that would make a lot of sense with the Multiverse of Madness. And she has... Her powers come from magic as well. So it makes a lot of sense. And I can't think of many other Hispanic female characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Or in the Marvel Universe. All signs point to her, and I think they've been setting up the Young Avengers for quite a while now with all the characters that they're bringing in. I don't know if you got that with, like, Speed and Wiccan, Miss Marvel, Kate Bishop. What do you think?
Speed and what? What was that last one?
Wiccan, the two twins of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Oh, I didn't even know they were in a thing. What are they in?
Oh, well, in WandaVision, you see them holding two babies.
Oh.
So it's kind of assumed... Yeah, and, you know, they come from Scarlet Witch's, like, abilities. They're not, like, actual children. So it's kind of messed up. So if they're leaning into that, WandaVision's going to get dark. But we'll see how that goes. Next up, we have the Star Wars Holiday Special is coming to Disney Plus November 17th. This time, it will be Lego, and it'll have Billy Dee Williams, Kelly Marie Tran, and Anthony Daniels. And supposedly, Kelly Marie Tran is going to have a bigger role as Rose Tico, going back to The Last Jedi. How do you feel about
Rose Tico? They just
Rose
can't
Tico?
Stop doing her dirty, can they?
Nope. I thought she was cool. I think her role was... I mean, her and Finn in that movie are unnecessary, but they were fine. They were fun characters.
They completely wrote her out of the third one.
Oh, absolutely. She just came in to not talk to Princess Leia because Princess Leia wasn't actually there.
She had, like, one line of dialogue. What was it like, now I gotta go study these books. And then she disappeared for the whole movie.
Yeah, they never really... That whole movie's a mess. They tried to do the end game thing where everyone comes back at the end and it didn't work nearly as well.
But back to the holiday special. I'm gonna watch this, honestly. It sounds like it's gonna be real tongue-in-cheek and fun. I like all the Lego Star Wars stuff they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to love the Lego Star Wars games. And I think the Lego format is kind of fun for that in-between, not canon stuff, but still having some fun, like Lego Batman and stuff like that. And I like Kelly Marie Tran and Billy Dee Williams. So I think this is going to be fun. I don't know who else is coming back from the cast, but those are the only ones that have been confirmed. Yeah, Life Day, let's go. I never saw the original, though. Did you see the original?
I actually have seen the original. And, yeah, no kidding, it's bad. It's really bad. It's not even bad in, like, the fun kind of way. A lot of it's just kind of boring.
So here's my question, though. Does Boba Fett actually do something in this one? Or is it like all the other movies where he does absolutely nothing?
Oh, in the original?
Yeah, isn't Boba Fett in... Is Boba Fett not in the original? I thought he was.
He is. That's actually his first appearance ever in a Star Wars thing.
But does
it's in this, like, animated bit where, like, Chewbacca's son, I think, is, like, watching a VHS tape of a Star Wars cartoon.
He has
and
a son?
It's the, I guess. What do you know about the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Absolutely nothing. I did know that it's Life Day. That's all I knew about it.
So the general conceit, right, it's Life Day, Han and Chewie are trying to get home to Chewie's wife, son, and father, I think. It's this old Wookiee that lives with them.
Chewie got
and
a family? What?
Yes, so it mainly follows the family at home. And since they're all Wookiees, they don't speak any English. So, like, for an hour, it's just like...
Sounds incredible.
And they're just kind of sitting around and watching TV.
Oh. I I'm down to watch that. I want to see. Also, where's his family been in these all these other movies? Is this canon? Like, is this canon? What does this fall under?
I'm going to say it's canon because Life Day has continued to show up in different Star Wars media.
Amazing. Now I got to watch this. I'm not a true Star Wars fan now if I haven't seen everything. But yeah, let us know if you watched that. And now I have to. Okay, so Sony has kind of squashed the boot of everyone's dreams by saying that the rumored castings of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are not confirmed yet. And I guess that there's been a bunch of sources kind of saying it as fact that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will be in these films. But they're saying none of that has been confirmed. So what do you think?
I'm not hearing a no. They just said things aren't confirmed. They could be in talks. They could be negotiating. I'm not giving up hope.
I think I spoke about this on one of the other episodes, but I was saying that if they can't get Tobey Maguire, which seems like the one that would be the hardest to get, right? They should just bring in Jake Johnson. And it's still the Sam Raimi universe, but it's Jake Johnson's Peter B. Parker instead.
I'd be cool with that, honestly.
I think I would be too. I think a lot of people would be more excited about that, because then that means Miles might be somewhere around the corner. But
what if they just keep him as his Spider-Verse character and he's like animated, but no one talks about it?
Jake Johnson?
Yeah, he just shows up and he's animated.
Is he still glitching too and all that stuff? Because the animation looks pretty cool. I would like to. You know what? I'm for it. I'm down. Let's do it. As long as we get Jake Johnson back, because I love Peter B. Parker. I'll throw his hat in the ring as the best Spider-Man. Okay. Coming to America is set to premiere on Amazon Prime on December 18th. Have you ever seen the original?
I have not, actually. I know it's an Eddie Murphy classic, though.
It is. It was probably one of the first films I saw with my mom. I don't know why. but it's a pretty funny one. He works at McDonald's. That's all I remember. Like McDowell's or something like that. It's like a McDonald's ripoff. And that's like the main thing I remember. And Samuel Jackson tries to rob him, but he fails. So I can't tell you anything else. I just remember that it was a pretty funny movie and that I enjoyed it, relatively speaking. So I'm kind of excited to see what the sequel is. They haven't shown like a trailer or anything, though. It's coming out pretty soon.
When is this coming out again?
December 18th on Amazon Prime. So that's only in 2 months. It's not that far away.
Guess I better have myself a double feature.
Watch them both. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel is playing Kraven the Hunter. Reportedly in a tweet, Jimmy Kimmel claims that he has been casted as Kraven in Spider-Man 3. I don't think this is true. At least I hope not.
What?
Yeah, this is true. He tweeted that. Like, just look. He says, I'm proud to, like, announce that I've been casted as Kraven in Spider-Man 3. I think it was with all the Jamie Foxx news that he was just joking around. But it got me thinking.
Also, he might not be.
He did confirm it. He confirmed it. So that's a big possibility. If that isn't true, who would you like to see Kraven in the Hunter? And if so, who would you want playing him?
I mean, I would like to see Kraven just because I don't think he's ever been adapted before.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
Now that it's in my brain, I just want to see super jacked Jimmy Kimmel try to kill Tom Holland.
He like Paul Rudd's it and gets like really jacked and like fit for the role. Oh, that'd be funny.
Face doesn't change though.
You know what they should do? They should have him like wear a mask for most of the movie and not announce who's Kraven. And then when it's revealed, it is Jimmy Kimmel, but he's like super, like he is jacked and no one expected it because he's been in quarantine this whole time and no one knows. I'd be down for that.
You know, yeah. Now that he's put it out there,
now that
he's got to do it now.
We have to see it. Do you think Guillermo will be a part of any the Sinister Six as well then? I don't know if you watch Jimmy Kimmel. Like,
he's going to be a Kraven's pelt. It's just Guillermo.
I'm down for that. On to people saying things aren't true again. Tatiana Maslany says that she's not the She-Hulk. That actually isn't a real thing. And It's like a press release that's gotten out of hand. It's not actually a thing, unfortunately.
What is going on over there? Marvel can't get it together.
I know. There's so many rumors in the past couple of weeks, and everyone's saying one thing or the other. I hope that she's doing one of those active things, being like, I'm not actually in the movie, wink, wink, or I'm not actually in the show.
You mean lying.
Yes. Everyone was so happy with her casting. I don't think anyone argued with it. They were like, that's a great casting. Amazing job. No one expected it. And now she's not just taking the win. I think if I were her, I would have just been like, yeah, I am. Absolutely.
Yeah, man, it's a job no one offered you that everyone's on board with.
Yeah, just take it. Just take the job. If not, Stephanie Beatrice, if you're listening, hit up Marvel. They need a She-Hulk. And
you can give Rose a reason to leave Brooklyn for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can...
then she'll just come back, and she'll just say that she's, like, on the run or something on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, I'm sure she's done that before.
Or, you know what? Cross them over. It's the same character.
Oh. Does that mean that New Girl is also a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe then? Because New Girl crossed over with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Do it. I'm all for crossovers that don't make any sense.
Ah, you should work at Sony. Adam McKay has got a new movie coming out called Don't Look Up, coming to Netflix next year. He did Vice, Anchorman, and Step Brothers. It's going to star Leonardo DiCaprio, Timothée Chalamet, Cate Blanchett, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Ariana Grande, Matthew Perry, and this one I'm most excited about, Kid Cudi.
This cast is stacked.
It's stacked, and then Kid Cudi. Two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching asteroid that will destroy Earth. Yeah, this cast is dumb stacked. That's the only reason why I wanted to bring it up. Leonardo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep in the same movie? Like, come on. That looks amazing. Ridley Scott is re-teaming up with Joaquin Phoenix for Kitbag, revolving around the life of Napoleon Bonaparte and his rise to power. They were originally working together on Gladiator. That's where they first teamed up. So I'm excited about that. You a big Joaquin Phoenix guy?
I mean, he's done a few movies I liked. I wouldn't say I'm like a fan, but you know, I'm sure, like, every performance he's done has been fantastic. I'm sure this one will be too. I don't know a whole lot about Napoleon, so.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure what to expect from this.
Yeah, I know very little about history. I did hear that he's not actually short. Like, he was like 5'10", which kind of made
That's short.
Okay, man. Jerk. This one was pretty interesting. From the set of The Batman, apparently there is a Halloween party, and two people have been dressed up as Superman and Wonder Woman. So does this mean that Superman and Wonder Woman are real in the Batman universe? What do you think?
Or are they just comic characters, Logan style?
Oh, I see what you did there. My thought process is that's the actual Superman and Wonder Woman, and they're just crashing that party.
They bought cheap Party City versions of their own outfits?
No, they went to where Captain America went to get his costume for the Avengers. Come at me.
Shots fired on a 12-year-old movie? How old is that movie?
That movie came out in 2012. An 8-year-old movie. Quite a bit ago.
I'm all kinds of excited for this The Batman movie. For anyone that doesn't know, they've been shooting in Chicago.
Yes,
this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's where we happen to be stationed.
Yes, so I'm pretty excited about that. I hope that this Batman only is one movie, though, because Ben Affleck could then get his own movie, and I'm more of a Ben Affleck fan myself. This should have been Ben Affleck's movie, if you guys did not know. But Robert Pattinson was a jerk and took the role instead of letting him go to rehab and wait a little bit, but whatever.
I don't think that's exactly how that happened.
I know, but still. On to TV news. I don't know if you heard about this one. There is rumors about a Cara Dune spinoff show. From The Mandalorian. Cara Dune is rumored to have her own show, which would feature the Clone Wars character Bo-Katan as well.
Who is that again?
She's another Mandalorian. She was one of the high-ranking members before Darth Maul actually takes over Mandalore. And she's going to be in the... Do you not know who
Cara Dune, the forager, or who was
it? Oh, Cara Dune is the wrestler lady, the one who's like...
Okay.
Yeah, she's one of the cooler characters. I liked her a lot. And she's going to be in the second season as well. So, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Mandalorian since it came out, like, week to week, so I'm a little fuzzy on, like, what her name was, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. But,
sure, I mean, if it's an interesting story, I love The Mandalorian. It's, like, my favorite Star Wars thing that's come out in a while. So if it's, like, the same level of quality, I'm all for it.
What else in the news? Dexter is coming back. I don't know if you're a Dexter fan, but it's coming back 2021 with Michael C. Hall returning as the titular character. I've recently found out this is not a Dexter's Lab remake. This is about, like, a serial killer.
Yeah, it's very different.
I thought Dexter took a turn.
I'm not. I've never seen Dexter. Yeah. All I know is that, like, famously it ended, like, horribly. Like, fans were not happy.
Yeah, I've heard pretty bad things about the ending. I don't want to talk too much trash about this show because my one friend was listening last time and I trashed Supernatural. And this is, like, her second favorite show. But I hear it's not that great, so we'll see what happens with that. Apparently SpongeBob is getting a prequel show at Paramount Plus. Does anyone care? It's called Camp Corral.
Boo. Boo this man.
Speaking of which, Star Trek Discovery got renewed for season 4. I've heard only great things about that show.
Oh, good for them.
So, yeah. I hear Spock's on it now. And I like Spock. That's probably my favorite Star Trek character.
Was he not before?
I guess not, because I don't know where this one takes place in, like, canon. I think it's before, like, the original series, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I know virtually nothing about Star Trek. Besides, like, the hand, live long and prosper thing, I could do that. That's about it.
If you wanted, like, a decent, like, knowledge of Star Trek, just watch the new movies with Chris Pine. It's pretty much explains every character pretty well as far as what I've heard. Yeah, they're pretty good. Although people really don't like 2, and I really like 2, Star Trek Into Darkness, but that's just me. HBO Max apparently is getting all the DC originals in the next 2 months. Young Justice Outsiders and Titans will be on November 1st, Stargirl December 1st, and Doom Patrol and Harley Quinn are already on there. So, yeah, DC Universe is just going all to HBO Max, which I'm very happy about. The originals aren't bad overall, except for maybe Titans. What do you think? Do you like any of the originals?
I like Harley Quinn a lot. That might be, like, my favorite DC, like, show currently airing.
Yeah, it's got a great cast and probably the best version of Bane ever, in my opinion.
I can't express it just how funny that show was. It is so goddamn funny.
I might re-binge it again because it was that good. I was thankful. You recommended it to me, I believe, and it was just delightful. It was so good. And it's getting a season 3. It got renewed, so I'm pretty happy about that. And on to comics news. This is the only comics news I have for the week. But Red X is making his comic book debut in DC Future State, Teen Titans. You a Teen Titans fan?
Like, as the team in general or that particular run?
I meant more so like the old animated show. Because he originated from the animated show. Do you know who Red X is?
Oh, yeah. We're talking the OG Teen Titans. I loved that show growing up.
Oh, yeah. That show's probably everyone's, like, only introduction to DC for a long time as far as animated stuff goes, except maybe the Justice League TV shows. But Red X, they never really said who he was. I mean, everyone kind of assumes it's Jason Todd, right? Like, you know, kind of.
Did that bother you ever since, like, the show ended? Because it has for me.
That didn't bother me as much as Terra bothered me at the end with the whole, is that Terra? Is that just a normal girl? Why doesn't she remember anything? What the heck is going on?
The world may never know.
Well, they explain it in Teen Titans Go Season 6, Episode 8. No, they don't. Teen Titans Go is trash.
For a sec, I almost believed you because they do shit like that all the time.
No, they did not. I've seen Teen Titans Go a little bit, unfortunately. They have a couple of funny episodes, but it's mostly stupidity. And they did a crossover with like Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, though.
Yeah, that movie. Did you watch that movie?
I did a little bit. It was kind of funny. It was kind of okay.
Yeah, it's all right. If you only see one piece of Teen Titans Go media, just watch like Go to the Movies, which honestly is not that bad. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I just want to talk about one plot point from Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. That they're trying to find this like mystic thing, right? And they said the only one that could have it would be someone who could be everywhere at once and knows like an unknown like amount of knowledge, right? Like they're looking for someone of complete wisdom. And so they're like, oh, it can only be one person, and it's Santa Claus. So they go and they fight Santa Claus with the original Teen Titans. It just made me so sad. I thought it would lean more toward the original stuff, but it leans more toward the Teen Titans Go stuff in the movie. So it's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's why I don't particularly like that one as much. It does get stupider.
Yeah. Yeah, don't check that out. But check out the comic, because I want to know who the heck Red X is to this day. That's really the main reason why I brought it up. So that's all I had for news today. So I wanted to end off the episode, as I usually do, with some recommendations. Ricardo, I thought I would start it off with you, though, because you're the guest. So do you have anything good to recommend to anybody?
Oh, thank you for letting me go first.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, I've got something. I've actually been kind of not subtly pitching this to you for like past couple days. I'm going to be recommending Clone High. If you listen to the podcast,
oh my gosh,
I'm on, I've already talked about this a little bit, which, by the way, check it out at PCR_podcast on social media. But more importantly, going back to Clone High, it's a Phil Lord, Chris Miller adult animated cartoon that came out in, I think, 2002, and criminally underrated. It only got about one season, and there's actually a really interesting story behind why. Diego, you don't know anything about Clone High, right?
I do not. I have seen clips of it, but I know relatively nothing about the show.
All right, so the general premise is, you know, way, way back in the 1980s, secret government employees dug up famous guys and ladies and made them using genetic copies. Now the clones are teens now, they're going to make it if they try, and wacky shenanigans ensue. That'll make sense to anyone that's seen Clone High before.
So, like, who's on it then? Like, what famous people are the clones?
We got our main set of characters. We got JFK, Abe Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, and Gandhi, who all go to school together. Which,
amazing.
If you're a Kim Possible fan, you might recognize the voice of Joan of Arc as Shigo.
Oh, okay. Love Shigo.
Will Forte's in it. He's a real big comedian. I don't know if you know his work, but he plays like a kind of gawky, awkward Abraham Lincoln.
No, I've never seen him in anything, but I'm already kind of sold. You said it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible due to like copyright and stuff. Yeah, but the whole thing's on YouTube for free.
Bet. I'm down to watch. Okay, there's only like 13 episodes, right, you said?
Yeah, tragically canceled before its time. There's actually like kind of a weird, complex story as to why. Because, you know, Gandhi is one of the main characters on Clone High. And the country of India was not a fan of that. So they would like write letters and stage hunger strikes outside of like the Viacom offices. And at a certain point, they were like, Clone High's not doing good enough in the ratings for us to deal with all this, so they axed it. They didn't even get to finish their run in America. They all had to do it in Canada and on DVD.
So this is like your second controversial pick of the day, Ricardo. Like, I bet.
It's not Gandhi as a character on that show, I don't think is, like, he doesn't share any like characteristics with like the real Gandhi. Also, it's a cartoon.
I don't think any of them probably share any characteristics with any of the other characters I'm going to say. All right, this is a that's a pick. I'm definitely down to watch that, though. We all need something lighthearted these days, right? On to my pick. Do you have Hulu, right?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the show Dave on Hulu?
I haven't seen an episode, but I am familiar with Lil Dicky.
Yes, Lil Dicky. It's the Lil Dicky kind of autobiographical show. It's basically about his life. 5 years before he became a very, very famous rapper. So he's just coming up into the world. It's mostly a comedy, but it surprisingly has a lot of really deep moments and points. I also have to say it has one of the best episodes of television ever, period. If you watch it, you probably know which one I'm talking about. But it kind of has that awkward comedy where you feel a lot of secondhand embarrassment from him because that's just the kind of person Lil Dicky is. And if you like his music, I think check it out. It's a good 10 episodes. It's one season, and it got renewed. And it's on Hulu right now, so in full, binge it. I also recommend you watch it, Ricardo. I think you'd enjoy it, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd seen the promos, but I didn't know it got like any amount of deep. That's surprising to me.
Oh, yeah, it gets... Okay, so when I heard about it... Have you seen Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that it was going to be something kind of similar to that. Because he is also a rapper doing his own show, but it's not. It's just a weird comedy that gets really awkward, and it's very Lil Dicky. He wrote it as well, so it's very much within his brand. But he gets really personal about a lot of things that actually happened to him, and maybe a couple of his friends and things that happened to them. So check it out. You're going to be surprised, definitely, if you watch the show.
How many episodes?
I believe it's 10 episodes, and they're each half an hour, so I'm pretty sure most people binge that in a day.
I'll check out the first couple episodes, see how I dig it.
I'll bet. Let me know, man. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up the show. That's all I really wanted to talk about today. It's definitely going to be one of my longer episodes. This is going to be kind of cool, man. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, man, no problem. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully we do this again. You already said where they can find you. We might as well say it again.
Yeah, for anyone... that wants to more of my voice, I guess, you can check me out as well as two friends of mine over on the Pop Culture Reference Podcast. You can find us at PCR_podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Just real quick, you can also, if you would like to, you know, send us a Gmail, that's popculturereferencepod@gmail.com.
Yeah, you and Seamus, we all went to high school together, and their podcast is great. I love them. They're really funny. They're my Sunday listen, so check them out for sure. I can't thank you enough for coming, man. Being my first guest, it makes the most sense to be you, man. So I'm pretty happy that you're here.
I was just like happy to help out. It's, you know, help you grow your audience.
All right, well, that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on the show. And, you know, everybody, wear the mask. Stay safe. Vote, please. And have a good one. That's pretty much it. Signing off.
All right. Take care.